Chapter 9. "Where are you taking me?" I laughed for the 10th time as Shay led me with only the sound of her singing under her breath.
"You'll see,"
she answered like she did the last 9 times, and I heard her take another sip from the wine bottle she brought with us.
"Just follow the sound of my voice. I know you're good at this. Zoe told me so."
"She did she?" I listened to the melodious cascade of her voice as I took extra care to blindly place my feet on the somewhat rocky trail she led us on. "What else did she tell you?"
"She also told me about how you and her had something called a date, and it reminded me about our moneyhoon,"
she giggled, and I followed the sound as it mingled with another familiar noise, rushing water. "Our honeymoon?" I asked, as the scent of the forest began to change, and I knew we were getting closer to the water's source.
"Oh, I knew I was saying it wrong,"
she giggled again, and the enchanting sound was so entrancing, I almost lost my focus and my footing.
"Zoe and I have been watching how hard you've been working these past few days, husband, and we thought you could use a break."
I heard her come to a stop, and I did so as well when she grabbed my hand. "Shay?" I questioned, when I felt her walk around me and gently rest her hands on my shoulder blades.
"Okay, darling,"
she said, and untied the scarf from around my eyes. I blinked them a few times in the pale moonlight and gawked at the picturesque sight. "Baby," I said. But then I lost the rest of what I was going to say at the romantic picnic scene that greeted me. Like a goddamn Bob Ross painting, a massive bonsai-looking tree with a curved trunk and feathery branches shrouded a small waterfall. On the mossy bank, tucked up right next to the gnarled tree, Shay had arranged a lounge area complete with comfortable-looking cushions, quilts, and a picnic basket emitting the heavenly aroma of roasted meat. My stomach growled, and I placed a palm over my flat belly. "You did all this?" I asked, as she led me closer by the hand so we could nestle into the comfortable cushions, and my mouth gaped open when I saw how she had even hung some type of lantern-lit canopy made of silk from the tree branches. It made the little nest feel intimate and secluded, and my heart twinged at the knowledge of how much thought she must have put into every detail.
"Yes,"
she said, and curled up into my side as she pulled the basket closer.
"Zoe nudged me in the right direction, but she said it was my turn to have a little time alone with you as well."
"You've been working just as hard," I said, and tucked some of her hair behind her ear. "Ithaca is starting to feel so homey, and I know that's mostly due to your touches."
"It's getting there,"
she sighed, as she held up a green fruit that looked like an underripe strawberry and let me take a bite. "Mmm." The tart juice burst over my tongue and refreshed me, and my lips tingled when Shay circled the berry over them.
"There is still more that needs to be done,"
my phoenix wife went on.
"But in the meantime, a few comforts and decorations don't go amiss."
She then smirked and ate the other half of the berry with a crisp crunch. "Do you like it here?" I asked her, as I reached across her for the wine bottle she set aside. "I know we spend a lot of time here, but if you wanted, we could spend more time at Icarian."
"Oh, that drafty place,"
Shay said with a silly eye roll and reached for the wine bottle. I teased her by moving it out of her grasp. No, really," I insisted, as I poured a small trickle into Shay's mouth. "I want you to feel comfortable." My carefree phoenix wife swallowed her mouthful of wine with a giddy giggle.
"Ithaca is like a dream,"
she admitted, and her voice was full of wonder.
"Although Icarian has been purged of Bala's cruelty, I still feel the scars of his presence there, like scorched earth."
Her hand came across her body and clutched her right shoulder in a move I knew meant the scar on her back was bothering her. "What do you want to do with it?" I asked, as I took her hand in mine.
"With what?"
She blinked at me as if snapping out of a memory. "I carry an estate," I said. "We don't have to keep it."
"But it's quite a valuable property,"
she said, as if the idea of getting rid of it was ridiculous. "If it causes you pain, then I don't care how valuable it is," I stated matter-of-factly.
"It doesn't cause me pain any longer,"
she said, and cupped my jaw.
"I promise. You and our darling Zoe have gone a long way in helping my heart heal from the wounds Bala inflicted. To answer your question, Ithaca is my home, but Icarian is a good place for us to have if we want to expand our enterprises. I'm not sure I want to continue on with the business my father taught me for too much longer. I think rearing Victory's Fall will be my last, but the estate itself has a lot of potential.
As long as you're sure, I said, and kissed her on the lips.
I am,
she murmured, and then trailed a few kisses down my throat. Just as I was getting into her ministrations, the phoenix woman gasped, popped up like a daisy, and rummaged around in the picnic basket.
Wait, you simply must try this first,
she said, and unwrapped a lumpy parcel. The cheesecloth fell away and revealed thick-cut slices of roasted meat, melty cheese, and what I recognized to be pickled ash root slices all between two unevenly sliced pieces of bread. You made sandwiches, I laughed, and took the parcel from her so I could take a heaping bite.
Kitchen sink specials,
she said, as her crest of feathers ruffled proudly, and she pulled out her own sandwich. You really have thought of everything, I said, as I polished off my meal lickety-split. She hummed and set aside the remains of her sandwich for later.
I thought of other things, too.
You did? I grinned as she slinked up my body on all fours until she was sitting comfortably in my lap.
There are a great many things I have prepared for you, Alex Brightwood.
She purred as she loosened the belt around my waist so she could slip the tunic I was wearing over my head. Best surprise ever, I commented, just before she engulfed my mouth in a burning kiss that made my head spin and my heart hammer against my ribcage, as if John Henry was going for an Olympic gold with his sledgehammers. Shay's hot fingers sparked trails of heat down my pecs and abs as she let her hands roam all over me, and I panted as the temperature ratcheted up all the way. I groaned into her mouth and tangled our tongues together in order to deepen the kiss. But she broke away again. When I tried to follow, she stopped me with a hand on my chest, and she swigged some wine out of the bottle she managed to sneak away from me. Then she handed me the bottle, lowered the straps of her flowing cropped blouse one at a time, and shucked the top of her dress off and to the side. I took my own liberal gulp of the wine which effectively killed off the bottle, and I watched with a different kind of thirst as my gorgeous phoenix wife ran her hands up her own body and massaged her full breasts. Shay then rose elegantly to her feet the way only a dancer could, and she turned so her back was to me. Then she batted those sparkling emerald eyes at me from over her shoulder, hooked both thumbs into her silvery skirt, and let the silky material fall to the ground.
Join me,
she whispered, and swayed those heart-shaped hips as she sauntered toward the waterfall. I was up like a jack-in-the-box and already unlacing the front of my pants as I followed Shay's example and removed the rest of my clothing. A moonlit dip sounded like just the thing to refresh me and cool my burning arousal down to a fine simmer. She probably thought she was just being cute, but regardless, her antics were turning me on big time. I realized I really was pent up, and I didn't want to spoil the main event by being too eager. It's warm, I said aloud, as I waded into the shallow pool.
It's a natural hot spring,
Shay explained, as she swam closer toward where the falls were thundering down and swirling the steamy mist. I submerged my body up to my neck, and the feeling of the hot spring water unlocking all my aching muscles and groaning joints nearly had me weeping with relief. How did you find this place? I asked, with my eyes closed, as I bobbed along until my feet could no longer touch the bottom. When I didn't hear an answer, I peeked open one eye. Shay? The phoenix woman still didn't respond, and I treaded water in a circle as I looked for her. Shit! I went to call out to her again. But before I could complete my sentence, something wrapped around my ankles and jerked me under the water. It only dragged me down for a second before it let me go, and I kicked to the surface with a spluttering gasp. Shay giggled as she wrapped her arms around me from behind. You! I hollered, and spun around so I could lift her and dunk her like the sneaky minx deserved. Her high-pitched squeal wasn't quite drowned out by the falls, and I relished in the mighty splash both our bodies made as I took us under the hot water. This basically started an all-out splash fight between us that lasted until it became impossible for us to dunk each other without slipping under the surface because of how deep the water got and because of how much we were laughing. Instead of wrestling, we ended up just bobbing around in each other's arms, and our roughhousing tapered down as a new type of tension rose between us. "Goddess, you're beautiful," I whispered to her, as we floated around in the hot spring. I kept us afloat while her legs wrapped around my waist, and the softness of her mound against my lower belly felt unbearably intimate. Diamond-like dewdrops from the mist of the falls stuck in her dark ruby hair, and her lips and cheeks were flushed from the heat of the water. Those enchanting green eyes were blown wide with arousal, and I could feel the nudge of her nipples as they hardened against my chest. Every square inch of my skin felt sensitized, and I pressed her closer as a different kind of heat surged through my groin. Shay tangled her fingers in my wet hair and practically devoured my mouth with a sizzling kiss that nearly turned my spine into a pretzel. "Baby," I groaned, and bit at her full lower lip.
Alex.
She stuttered in that breathless way that meant she was starting to unravel, and her hips flexed against my torso as if she couldn't help but try to grind her pelvis in search of more friction.
"The heat is making me dizzy."
"Hold on to me," I said, and she rested her head in the curve of my shoulder as I swam us back to the mossy shore. My arms came around her and cupped her perfect backside as I walked us back to our cozy area under the lantern-lit canopy. Then I laid her down as if she was something breakable, and I moved some of the ribbons of wet crimson hair out of her face so I could gaze at how beautiful she was. This close, I could see the gradient of gold to crimson in her long lashes and the flecks of amber in her green irises. "Are you warm enough?" I murmured, as I kissed the hollow of her throat.
"I'm burning for you, Alex,"
she moaned as my mouth sought out one of her peaked nipples and licked the tip of that sensitive nub.
"Ooh, oh, your touch."
Shay arched her back beautifully and circled her hips as she thrashed her head to one side. I pulled off her left nipple with a sucking pop and then moved on to the right one. This must have been the more sensitive of the two, because she mewled prettily when I latched on, and then she flexed her hips more rapidly when I swirled and sucked. With my other hand, I inched my way down her soft belly until I could caress the moist slit of her pussy lips. The crimson curls between her legs twined almost lovingly around my fingers, and her legs fell open like a blooming lotus the closer I got to her slick center of pleasure. Since Shay was so sensitive, I was careful not to overstimulate her clit in case it became too overwhelming for her, but I wasn't in any rush. Initially, she hissed as my calloused fingers started a little too rough, but I let her guide me with her own hand until I figured out what rhythm made her buck and arch.
"Ooh, darling, yes."
My phoenix wife trembled as I used two of my fingers to stimulate that little kernel on either side of her hood. The indirect contact seemed to be just the thing to really drive her wild, because before I could even react, she sat up, pushed me flat on my back, and smothered me with her hot, naked body. I'd almost been ignoring my throbbing erection as I focused first on Shay's pleasure, but I was immediately aware of just how dire my arousal was when I felt the slick slide of her pussy lips on either side of my rigid shaft. Then, when she slowly ground our pelvises together, I nearly hit the ceiling of the canopy. "Fuck, baby, fuck!" I cursed and thumped my head back sharply against the cushion beneath me.
Alexa!
She said sharply and picked up her pace. "Make yourself come, beautiful," I ordered, while I encouraged her to hump against me faster with my bruising grip around her narrow waist. She vocalized as she rapidly flicked her hips back and forth along my cock. Every now and then, the head would catch on the rim of her hot hole, and it caused my lower belly to clench with the need to thrust upward and bury myself to the hilt in one go. But I was sure if I did that, it would all be over. So I held myself back while she took what she wanted from my willing body. "Come, honey, come," I urged through gritted teeth, as a gush of her slickness coated my balls and inner thighs.
No.
Shay shuddered to a stop and folded over so her head was resting against my hammering heart. What's wrong? I asked, and tried to see into her face.
Nothing's wrong, but I don't want to climax yet until I have you deep inside me.
She admitted in a rough voice, and she trembled from the delayed release of what was probably going to be an intense orgasm. I'll make you come as many times as you want, you know, I murmured against her damp temple, as we both came down from the precipice. You don't have to deny yourself.
Oh, I'm not,
she said, and she fixed me with a sinfully seductive look that caused my dick to twitch strongly when I realized she seemed to enjoy the intense feel of backing away from the edge of climax. It was fucking hot. Like supernova hot. And I wondered if it was possible to die of being way too turned on. If so, what a way to go. In that case, I said with a wicked smirk, before I urged her up to her knees and then maneuvered her onto her front so her upper body was on the cushions while her ass was raised to the perfect height for me to lick her glistening pussy.
Ah!
She yelped and gripped one of the soft blankets in her balled-up fists.
Alex!
Relax, I told her, while caressing the small of her back. She sighed and actively tried to release the tension running through her, and I saw the moment she was successful, when the half-moon scar on her right shoulder blade smoothed out from its twisted, tense shape. There you are. I massaged her lower back and watched in wonder as she settled lower into the cradle of her hips and went almost boneless. My massage then moved on to either side of her hips and around to her satiny inner thighs. Shay rolled her spine, and the way she was splayed out in front of me made my mouth water.
Alex,
she whimpered. Don't come yet, I rasped out, spread her lips with both of my thumbs, and then began to eat her out with gusto. She buried her face into one of the throw pillows scattered around our love nest, and let out another long groan. The tremors in her belly and thighs turned into miniature earthquakes as a long-awaited orgasm began to swell within her like the tide. Her knees trembled and her spine bowed, but right before her pleasure crested, I pulled my face back and steadied her when she almost collapsed.
Please,
she panted, as a single tear rolled across the bridge of her nose and down the cheek smushed into the cushion.
Please, husband, I can't take it anymore. Claim me. Oh,
goddess, yes, I said, and I gripped my throbbing, near-purple erection so tightly it was almost painful. I stroked the slick velvet steel of my member a few times, and I nearly bucked into my own hand with abandon. Oh, dear. This might not last as long as I would like it to.
Alex, wait!
Shay croaked, and her hand wandered across the quilt toward the now capsized picnic basket. She rummaged inside for only a moment before she pulled out something in her hand and handed it back to me.
I thought we might try something.
I took the thing from her, and her one green eye smoldered into me to where I almost couldn't look away. But my curiosity for the small, flexible object in my hand finally had me tearing my gaze away. In my palm was a simple-looking black leather strap with a smooth circular clasp, and I immediately realized the purpose. Where'd you get this? I asked.
There's a special vendor's cart that travels from market to market,
Shay purred.
They sell exotic wares. Don't worry, it will adjust automatically to fit you.
I gaped at what was essentially the Avental version of a cock ring made out of black leather and clasped with a silver snap button. It looked dubious at first, but I put my trust in what Shay said and clasped the soft leather device around myself in a way that was most comfortable. Automatically, the leather seemed to shrink down to just enough to take the edge off. Oh, fuck, I hissed, as my dick throbbed so hard I could see the tip of my curved erection actually jerk to the beat of my heart.
Darling.
My phoenix wife sighed and spread her knees wider.
Make love to me.
I needed no more encouragement than that. And I knee-walked up to her as I stroked my shaft so I could coat my dick with my own pre-cum. Her pussy lips parted beautifully, and I shivered as the head of my cock was enveloped by her fierce, tight heat. Shay gasped and turned her face into the pillow as I relentlessly slid home inch by scorching inch, so the both of us could adjust to the intensity. Whew, you feel so good, I praised when I finally bottomed out. The Phoenix woman merely mewled as she writhed around my cock. I could tell it was taking all of her concentration not to come on the spot, and even though I was tempted to just thrust into her until she sobbed my name, I waited until she gained back some of her self-control.
Move,
Shay ordered in a husky voice that brooked no argument, and I pulled out slightly before pushing tightly back in.
Oh, Mercedes!
Oh, God, I choked, and the last of my own self-control suddenly snapped. I nearly roared as an animalistic lust suddenly inflamed my blood, and I scooped my wife up so I could thrust into her with her back against my front. With one arm, I held her tightly across her chest, and with the other, my fingers dipped down and swirled around her engorged clitoris.
Pour your seed in me, husband,
Shay gasped, and her back suddenly arched sharply as her climax crashed through her. Oh, fuck, baby, I said, and I continued to pump my hips as her orgasm rolled on and on.
Goddess,
she sobbed, and her hand shook as she reached between her legs to where we were connected. Before I could really register what she was doing, the clasp on the cock ring came undone, and so did I. I probably shouted something, but my hearing briefly tunneled out as I had one of the strongest orgasms I'd ever experienced. Electricity raced down my spine like I'd been struck by a lightning storm, and bright flashes of color burst to life behind my closed eyelids. I shuddered violently as gush after gush of my cum shot from the ultra-sensitized tip of my cock to drench her inner walls, and I could barely hear my Phoenix wife over the roaring in my ears.
Alex, oh, my love,
she moaned, clutched the back of my head with one hand, and gyrated against me as the aftershocks of our tsunami-like pleasure continued to ripple through us. Shit, shit, fuck, I huffed, and I couldn't help but continue to kick my hips through the last few strong spurts. I couldn't remember the last time I ever came so long or so hard, and it was almost a relief when I was finally spent. Somehow, I had gathered us both up after the storm swept through us, and I kept us both connected as I held a quaking Shay in the shelter of my arms. Baby, baby, I cooed against the shell of her ear. God, you're so amazing. You're beautiful. She still didn't quite have full control of her voice yet, so instead, she just squeezed my arms around herself even tighter until her shaking subsided.
I love you,
she breathed in a shuddery voice, and we both tried not to wince when my softened member slipped out of her. I love you too, sweetheart, I murmured into the nape of her neck. How are you feeling?
I'm all right,
she said in a shy tone, and tangled our legs together.
Keep holding me, okay?
For as long as you need, I said, and drew one of the quilts over us so she wouldn't catch a chill. We spent a few long moments just bathing in the afterglow of such intense lovemaking, until Shay dozed off with light snores wuffing through her elfin nose. My brain was still trying to piece itself back together, but for some reason I wasn't tired. The muscles of my thighs and back twinged a little, but in a primal and satisfying way, and I felt loose and limber as if a pressure valve had just been released. Leave it to my two wives to arrange this and know exactly what I needed.
Oh,
Shay sighed as she sensually stretched herself awake from her short nap. Hello, sleeping beauty, I said, and nuzzled the side of her face.
I didn't mean to fall asleep,
she mumbled, and turned around in my arms, and her low-lidded eyes roamed over my face as if she was committing every line to memory.
Or maybe I'm still dreaming.
I brushed her tangled hair out of her eyes and kissed her softly for a few moments on her flushed lips. Let me take care of you? I cupped and held her dear face and kissed her in between her thin eyebrows. She nodded hazily, and I got us both sitting while I dragged the discarded picnic basket closer to see what else was in there. Shay had managed to have the forethought to include a few woot fruits, some nuts, and a little bread, which would make a perfect after-romp snack. Along with the food, she also packed some cloth napkins and her double-ended comb, and I smiled as a little plan for tender lovin' aftercare took shape. The first thing I did was make sure Shay was taking care to drink the water out of the center of the ruby peach-like fruit before I noshed on my own snack, and then I began tidying up the love nest. I chuckled inwardly at the evidence of our enthusiasm, and I went about arranging the various pillows and throw blankets back into some semblance of order. Shay watched me with a serene expression as she nibbled on a piece of bread, and I grabbed the softest blanket out of the pile so I could wrap it around her narrow shoulders. "I'll be right back," I said, and pecked her nose. Then I grabbed the cloth napkins from the amazingly useful Mary Poppins picnic basket and walked back to the natural hot spring so I could clean up a bit and wipe off any excess evidence of our lovemaking. When I was clean enough, I took the remaining clean cloth, got it damp, and hurried back to Shay before it could cool too much. I locked eyes with her, and an achingly intimate moment passed between us as I wiped her perfect skin free of anything soiling it. Then I got to the space between her legs, and I watched with a faint throb of lingering arousal as her pupils blew wide while I cleaned her most intimate place with the heated cloth. Shay sighed like a dove and luxuriously stretched and flexed her muscles, and the sight of her was so indulgent I felt like I was feasting on the richest of desserts, like creme brulee or Belgian chocolate ganache. It was satisfying to see my woman so sated, and I couldn't help but crawl up her soft body when I was done so I could taste the fluttering pulse against her throat.
I thought this was supposed to be about you,
she asked in that halting, breathless way that always made my heart flutter with how endearing it was. You are wonderful for doing all this for me, I told her, as we cuddled again under the blanket. And it gives me pleasure to show my appreciation by taking care of you.
No one's ever,
she faltered, and I tried to soothe the sudden chill out of her skin by rubbing my broad palm up her arm. I'm here now, I stated simply, and we continued to embrace under the canopy and watch the stars. It would have been perfect if it weren't for the familiar black streak of the disagreeable crane mantis as it flew overhead with an obnoxious "Baccaw!" Igoric, the monger, Horace's messenger bird, was back.